Hello, my name is Gert Dunbar. This is Type Radio. Now we are talking.
Hello, my name is Dirk Dunbar and this is Type Radio. Now we're talking.
Type Radio. Now we're talking.
Hey, wait a moment. Cheating. You haven't asked me the question.
Have you cheated?
Yeah.
Yes, I cheated once. My grandmother, she gave me 2.5 guilders and I could go to the cinema. And is there any money back, Gert? No. But then I... spoil it on ice cream and chocolate. That's one. And I will not say a professional cheater, but I love to cheat up until today. And I would say to every Dutchman in Holland, please cheat your tax system.
I have a story.
Yeah,
about cheating?
On.
No, about tax. Last Thursday, I was a bit of in a bad mood. And I called the tax office. Because I had a question, because last quarter of, no, it was the third quarter of 2005, I was one day too late with paying tax on the income, the BTW. And I got an official letter. We received your tax one day too late. And then with the date it's supposed to be in and the date they got it in. It was one day. They spent a letter on it. And they didn't give me any fine for it, but just tell me that. I
but
say, okay.
Next time you'll get the fine.
So, the last quarter, I was in time and I filled it in. And then I realized a few days later, I put the wrong. I was still with these envelopes in the mailbox. I was not that modern, which I am now because now I have internet banking, but since a week. But then I realized that I put the wrong. From the wrong bank in the wrong envelope. So. I thought, oh, this is not going to work. So I called the tax office to say, listen, I know it's my fault, but this and this happened, and blah, blah. But then she said, yes, but you cannot call anymore because this is a central number and you cannot call directly to your local tax office. You have to go there and make an appointment. And I was like, do you know how much work that is? I mean, you probably don't because you have plenty of time because you sent 10 letters for one reason, which you could put also in one letter, and maybe you could put it in no letter at all, because it's not necessary, but the tax, just there is money enough to do all these stupid things. So I had this little discussion with this woman, and she was a nice woman. I said, it would be so nice if you say thank you. I mean, we all have to pay tax, and you collect it like you are a pit bull. You need my money. And if I open my bank receipt in January. There is this from this Casema television company. There is this phrase on it. We wish you a happy new year. I think that's nice. I mean, not that I need it, but it's a nice feeling. It would be so nice.
But even though it's like automatically generated.
You could say thank you. That two words. You could just say thank you underneath. In Dutch it's just one word. It's bedankt. Or you can make. You spend 10 letters on it. They spend 10 letters on nothing. So they could. On the end of the year, hello, Mr. Taxpayer or Mrs. Taxpayer, we really like to thank you for giving us your money. It would be so nice. So I talked that with this tax lady and she was quiet. And then she said, yes, yes, you're right. And I was like,
oh,
I was shaking like, what happened? And then she said, well, I can do it for you. And first I thought you made a joke, but she was serious. And now I think tonight is going to be in my mailbox. There's an official letter from the tax on a letterhead from the Dutch tax
authorities.
That says, Dear Dirk Dunbar, the tax, blah, 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 we thank you very much for your money. And I promised her, she promised me to do it, and I promised her to hang it on the wall in my office and to let everybody look at it, that the tax is a nice company, tax authorities.
But it's sort of in what their slogan is. We can't make it any.
We can make it easier. Not nicer or something,
yeah, something like
that.
Like that. Yeah,
but
yeah,
that's bullshit. Sorry to say it like this,
yeah.
But they can say thank you.
Yeah.
And I
well,
don't know why.
That's why the discrepancy between their slogan and what you're telling us now
yeah.
is like.
Yeah,
yeah,
but maybe
not?
I'm the only like stupid man who likes these kind of things, but I feel like I won. Now they can just take my money forever, but I have this letter, like you said, thank you. And that's so much to me, like you stand, because I hate that system. Everybody has to pay tax, that's good. I love to pay tax, but it goes in this way like, yeah, like your big father is telling you what to do, and you can never get out of there and underneath the, this controlling eyes of this tax man. I mean, but you can pay tax, no bullshit, say thank you, finished.
But maybe next time you call, you could say, please, can I pay? That's also possible.
Yeah, no, yeah, but then yeah, they yeah, all please have to be reanimated and go to hospital, I think. No, but it's. I wonder if she's really. Tonight I will find out. And they're going to frame it.
I recall that there is like a sort of confirmation when you do it online. You fill in your application.
But
it's never like, thank you. We've received your application.
If they spent seriously like 5 or 6 letters for the same thing, like within a few days you receive a letter. That's the first letter. Within a few days you receive a letter. Like, okay, thank you. That's. I know now that in a few days I receive a letter about something, and then you receive a letter that in a few days you will get some money back, or you have to pay extra money. Most of the time you have to pay extra. And then in the end you get the receipt or the accept giro, and you have to fill it in. But I mean, you can do it just in one letter. Saves a lot of money, saves a lot of hours. You can just fire some people and you can just do some good with the money.
Well, talking about taxes, then have you been ripped off?
By the taxman?
No, not by the taxman, but just in general.
No, not that I know of. No, that's a joke. No, I don't know. You?
Yes, but anyway.
Have you been ripped off, Gert?
Yes, if I was on one of my travels abroad, I might have been ripped off by a taxi driver. That sort of thing, but that is the usual thing. The logo. I always ask now, do you have a meter? And then if they say yes, is it working? They say no, and then you start bargaining about the price of. And that is simple. But I would like to go back to the tax system. I must say, Holland was the first country which had beautiful designed tax forms. They're really very, very beautiful to look at. And also, and that's important, the language which they used in the tax form was very good. Now it's all done by email and then electronic, but those were the glory days of our tax system anyway. But this is such a stinking rich country, so a little bit cheating of the taxes, I think, is not so bad at all. But it's not tremendous amounts, but still.
I think
it helps. Yeah. No?
It gives me a sort of good feeling.
And I think everybody does it.
Yes, of course.
And not even in Holland, but also like worldwide, they try to sneak out of it.
Yeah, well, because they misuse the money so much. That's the bureaucracy Dirk is talking about is they misuse the money on the wrong things, in my opinion.
Basically, I think you should be able to not pay a certain amount of your taxes if you don't agree with like the general. If the government has like we pay like 40% of our budget into the military, for instance, and if you don't agree with that, you should be able to not pay 40% of your taxes.
Yeah, but then the whole country would be a mess, I think.
Why?
But there is another very special Dutch thing on the tax which nobody knows. It's the
Zero number.
The number one.
Is it number one?
Number one. If you have money and you have some conscious money, which if you are a crook and you have and you come to a stage that you say, well, I've stolen the money, or it's not really a legal way I got hold of this money, you can send it back on the number one, only sending the money and not mentioning your name. And I've been told that a lot of money comes in every year. It's number one, ladies and gentlemen. Please repeat number one.
So you're able to return.
Yeah, well, I'm not the type to return a send to number one, but you can do it.
But Derek will.
I will.
Yeah,
I will.
But it's a stupid, in a way it works, and it's also a little bit of a part of our Dutch culture. It's this Calvinistic thinking.
And I mean, I really don't have a problem paying tax, not at all, but I have a problem with this, the way it goes. It's like amateuristic almost. And now also with this online thing, you get this this email, you can, there in this location, you can do it. And you go there, you have to really search for this button where you have to pay your money. I mean, come on, if you need money from the government, make one big, only one button on your website is pay here, for instance. And the whole, with this amount of letters and the whole stuff. Now also, first, oh, I got a letter. That I have to pay the fourth. Yeah, sorry, I have to.
It's bugging you, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it is, because now I got this letter that it's, I have to pay before,
section for
before the end of March. And then I got, no, we made a mistake. It is before the end of January. And I said, come on, there goes a mailing from a million or two or 10 million. I don't know how many taxpayers we have. It goes on and on. And that was in, well, forget about the tax now. I'm done. Oh, there's one more thing.
Get it out of your system.
If you get a child, the tax, sorry, they will know it before your parents will know that you have a,
oh, really? A boy. Is that who you heard that you were going to be grandfather from the tax man?
Yeah, because he got a Sophie number and says, hello, you have a son, here's your Sophie number, bye. Not, congratulations with your son.
Sort of legal, bureaucratic number. But I would can I continue on the tax?
yeah, sure.
There is this very, you don't realize, but there is something very special around this table. It's the following. The tax envelope is always light blue. And if you go in town, in Holland, you will hardly find shirts clothed in that color. And I am a collector of the color light blue shirts and things like that, which you cannot get in Holland, but this I buy in France. This you can buy in France, but this color you cannot buy in Holland. It's exactly the same color as the tax form. You know the tax form, light blue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I will sort of, you do your type radio, I do color blue tax, Dutch tax system radio or television. So it's also
so when you walk
psychological color. It always upsets you when you find that envelope amongst you. I don't know the colors of other European countries. I have a house in France, it's only white. So it's, but it's a psychological shock, this color.
And they always send it on Friday. And that is true. You know why?
Because you have a weekend to drink yourself.
You have a weekend to cool down, and on Monday they will talk to you. Because if you get it on Wednesday, you pick up the phone and you will start screaming or whatever people do. I think that's quite smart of them.
Sorry, but you wear a blue shirt so you can upset people in the city. Is that
well, no, it's a sort of revenge
thing. I'm the tax man.
No, sort of, you don't find this color and I'm sort of, when I see it in France and I need a shirt, I was looking for this color. It's,
do you take the envelope with you and say,
well, that's one of
those
neurotic things I have. You know what I mean? The first question, there's another one.
Maybe you should go to Hennis & Mauritz.
They have this color? Oh, well.
Probably.
Well, but they're not from Holland, huh? They're from Sweden. Anyway, carry on.
Okay, your favorite book?
My favorite book?
Yeah.
That is, I'm absolutely not, it still is, it's Winnie the Pooh. Because for me, it's a beautiful example of text and illustration, which is absolutely similar. It could have been drawn by the same person, but in this case, two different persons. And it's a classic. I mean, it's good for children from 8 till men of 80. So I hope that I can still, and now and then I do read it again.
And when did you first read it?
When I was at school, 13, on high school.
Do you still have the copy of the book?
Yes. So it's my, that's a sort of little secret favorite book.
And for you?
I don't dare to say, but right now it's like Flash Action Scripting, computer books. I almost never read a book. That's a complaint of my girlfriend also. It's always computer books.
You don't read novels or stories?
No, because I'm so neurotic that I want to learn. If I read a book, it's about learning some computer language or whatever.
But when you were a lot younger?
Yeah, I didn't know the. Yeah. I had these books about the war. I don't know why, but you have this.
I remember you were reading books for school.
Yeah, well, I forgot it.
Oh.
Okay. I always looked in the library of the school, the thinnest book with the biggest letters in it.
For the visually impaired. No.
Yeah, almost. So, no.
Do you have a hero?
A sort of hero. Actually, I don't have a hero, but there is this guy called Steve Jobs that I think it's a special person. I recently, there's now, I told you about it, the Stanford has put all his lectures on the iTunes Music Store. You can download free lectures from Stanford from guest speakers, and there was also Steve Jobs there. And he had a very good story, you should listen to it, about life and about how he's thinking about it. And that was, yeah, quite a good story. But I also know that he's not this nice guy, this Steve Jobs that he pretends to be. I don't know if you see the film about this Silicon Valley Bill Gates, Steve Jobs thing. And if that's true, I mean, Steve Jobs is not a nice person to be with, I think.
But why is he your hero, then?
Because he thinks about life in a way that I like. And he has also the courage to do it. I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of people thinking, I want to do that, I want to do that. And myself, I'm also a person like that. But there are not so many people who actually do it. They always go the safe way, or they think they cannot do it. And on this moment, I'm somewhere in between. I like to go that way, but I go that way and still have to find out. Like normally you do when you're 20 or 18, but I'm 23 now, so...
Yeah, right.
I have two heroes, which are each other opposites. One is Winston Churchill and the other one is Gandhi. And it's Gandhi, yes. And his shadow is Winston Churchill. Two people who lived... No, one lived not consequent and the other one lived consequent. But the other one lived... an incredible passion for himself or for history or whatever.
And do you have any heroes in design?
A teacher of mine, Paul Schuitema. He's one of the pioneers of our profession. And also a very good friend of mine, which was Piet Zwart, the Dutch counterpart of Paul Schuitema. And to give you some very valuable information, which probably never ever one of the people you interviewed might have said, that the phrase graphic design comes from 1922 from an American advertising guy who came up with the phrase graphic design, and that's the first time when the profession became mature, so to speak. And Paul Schuitema, he was in the middle of it together with Piet Zwart, because as you know, I always say that in my lectures abroad, graphic design was invented in Russia, in Germany, and in The Hague. Because The Hague, we had Piet Zwart, Paul Schuitema, and Kilian. Kilian was the teacher at the Royal Academy of Art, and the Royal Academy of Art had the first design school in Europe, late 20s. So there was a lot of pioneering going on in our profession here in this city. And those are my design heroes.
But for example, Gandhi, is that a recent hero? I mean...
No, no.
A lot younger, is
I was a lot younger already. I remember I used to read books on his about him when I was 18, and then I had for me he made a very big impression up until today as someone who really can inspire the masses by not using violence. That's what I think about him. And Churchill is the opposite. He can inspire the masses to make violence, but he did it also in a very flamboyant way.
Do you think it's important, though? I mean, for is it important to have heroes?
No, not at all. In fact, my mother is my hero, sort of thing, or my wife. I mean, those are the real heroes. But you talk it more like a metaphor, and then I come up with that. But my real heroes is my grandson, my children, and my family. Very simple.
Is that the same for you, Derek? Is your family your heroes, or
no? But I grew up with a famous father in design, and then you look different at people who admire a person, because I remember when we were young and we were eating in a restaurant, there was always somebody who had to introduce somebody to my father, and then the first somebody pretended like he was his best friend, but then he didn't know the first person, and that's only graphic design. Imagine that if you're like Mick Jagger or something and you have children, and I mean, that's worse. But then, with that in mind, I never, actually I quite don't understand anymore why people have heroes in that kind of way, that they look up to people. I mean, I look up to people, but not in the way like go blind and that's the standard. That's the man, and everything he does is funny, or is good, or is good music, or whatever. That's, I don't believe in that way of having a hero, or so having an example, or having an.
For example, then you say when you went to dinner, somebody recognized your father. You felt, was that more an intrusion for you? Like, this is our.
No, it was.
Or just annoying.
In the 80s, I mean, now he's not that famous anymore.
Fortunately
for who?
For me.
Okay, but then in the 80s, I remember when we were in Indonesia on the beach on Bali, and we were on the other side of the world, and there was also this guy, said, out of all people, Gert Dunbar, and I was like, oh no, this is, come on. And who was it?
I don't know.
From the Post Museum or something.
Oh, yeah.
But, no, and my sister had a
funny
experience once.
Anyway, it doesn't matter.
No?
We've forgotten the story.
Oh, okay.
What is your dearest possession?
My son and daughter and my girlfriend. That's so cliche, but it's so true.
Would you consider them possessions?
No.
Well, this is a trick question.
No, it's not. No, yes, actually, yes. It's not your possession, but... I mean, if they're gone, where are you? So, it's not called possession, but you have to be really careful with them. In a way, it is your possession, I think. It sounds so cliche, but...
Yeah, yeah, no.
it is true. I mean, not any materialistic thing, or... I don't care. I ruined this table and I even didn't care.
My dearest possession is our house in France, which is my paradise.
Have you had it long?
We come there for 40 years now. It's a very old house, about 300 years. It used to be the house of my parents. And Leonie and I bought it about 20 years ago, wasn't it? Yeah, 20 years. But we come there already 40 years, and it is in the middle of nowhere, in the wild. We have, for instance, over 35 different wild orchids. It's 20 hectare. And very unique, it is in one of the last full communist villages of France. So nothing happens there, because they're all sort of beaving up these villages for tourists, and... Here they don't do anything, and it's such a nice idea. Keep on saying to the mayor.
Are you accepted within that community there?
Yes, all the Derek as well, the children as well. Because we come so often, they know us, and we are
for such a long time.
Yeah, in fact, it has always been my secret life, France. Also, when I had the studio, it was a sort of the current for my battery, a creative battery, and. Battery of mind, and we are very good with our neighbors and the butcher and the shopkeepers there. They know me very well.
Yeah. My dearest possession is also his house in France.
Okay. Are you afraid, Derek?
No. Yes, no. Sometimes, maybe, for the children. That's the only thing, actually, I care about. That's what I realized when you got them, that you get feelings. I got feelings of being afraid of something, you know, that you always have to watch them, always have to be careful.
So having children changed your perception of fear in general?
Yeah.
Like, as if you're like really conscious of the fact that something could happen or something.
Yeah, really.
In that respect.
Another cliche. Mm. But it's true.
Clichés are always true.
Yeah.
That's why they're clichés.
Yeah, but no, I'm not afraid of anything. Yeah, I am. Oh, whoa.
The taxes.
It's not the tax man. Or maybe it's a dead tax man. Can I tell you a story about our favorite possession, his house in France? It's a very old house.
Oh, yeah.
It's a very, very, very old house.
Yeah.
It's a big farm. And once, when I was 18 or 19 years old, we had to bring a kitchen from here to there. With a friend of me, and we came there. It's 1100 kilometers, so in the middle of the night we were there, and then just parked the car, went into the house and straight to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly after 2 hours I was just awake. There was no sound, but I just opened my eyes and there was something standing in my room. And I have to tell you, I really don't believe in ghosts, and I refuse to believe in ghosts. But there was something there that shouldn't be there. That there was this man in this tropical suit with this tropical helmet on. And then you are so awake, your heartbeat goes like 300 beats a minute. And I still remember, he was standing at the door of the sleeping room. And it was completely dark. And I tried to reach for the bed light. And then I turned my head off to find this bed light. And then I found this button. And I thought to myself, no, I have to look again. And then he was standing next to my bed, and I just turned on the light, and it was gone. But I was so awake at that moment, there was nothing like you should be half asleep, and I thought about a million things. I thought about maybe it was the moonlight that projected in my eyes or something, but it couldn't because the curtains were closed, and the like, what's called in English?
The shutters
were closed. It was completely dark, and I was so shocked, and this friend of me woke up and really did not believe me. He thought I was like stupid, but from that moment on, at night there, I don't sleep that good. And I found...
In the house in France?
In that house. Mm-hmm. If I sleep in the garden on the whatever, when it's a sunny night, when it's a warm night, that's no problem. But if I'm in the house, there is something in there that is not good. But I found a trick. Just don't open your eyes. If I'm asleep there... No, really, I do that. And then... I don't know what time it is, so I open it really fast, and then it's dark, and I close again and fall asleep. And if there's light, there's no problem anymore. So I beat the ghost in that way. But then sometimes I think if I'm asleep there alone with my girlfriend and the kids, maybe a big dog should be nice there. Because it's really in the middle of nowhere. There's nothing around it. It's so quiet.
Well, if you're haunted by a ghost, I mean, a dog won't help you.
Yeah, but it's just a feeling. It's just a feeling.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I interfere because I remember he was very upset when he's telling. But I was born and raised in Indonesia, and it's Guna. It's the land of these things. And before this house, we used to have a smaller house, not far from the house we have now. And there was always coming my friend from Indonesia. Suwondo Sudewo, his family belongs to Indonesian intellectuals, absolutely non-corrupt. And he checked both houses, and he checked them via what he called his friend radar in Jakarta. And radar could look at the photograph of the house, and he said... Well, this house is clean, and the other house a smaller house, there is a watcher, but he will not harm you. But he is waiting there, and it was an incredible story. So, Reda was talking about the house where Derek had this experience that it was clean, and I must say, coming back to the small house, that not my family, but other people had very interesting experience in that house. They were not violent or whatever, but at least they were things which you could describe as things from another world, sort of. How you say? What's the English word for it? Yeah. Not superstition.
The spiritual world.
Yeah, sort of spiritual world.
Yeah, but
yes.
It's so strange because I really
and
don't believe.
Our Indonesian friend was saying that. He said that house is not clean, but it's not dangerous.
Yeah, what's her name? She saw this man walking.
Yeah, yeah, and she said, it was this man coming in.
There
the
were
door
people
was
camping
locked
in the garden, and then in the night she woke up. Was by something, and there was, I think, a guy going to the toilet or something. And then next morning she asked, why, to the people camping in the garden, why do you go inside to the toilet? You can do it on the land. And then she said, we were not. And then so...
They denied being in the...
Yeah, but she will never come there again now. Right? Yeah. She was so...
No. She comes now. It's clean now. It has been cleaned by another friend of mine. They said, okay, it's...
They took out the ghost.
Yeah.
But can you imagine if you don't believe in these kind of stories and you see something that...
It
just don't work in your head.
It doesn't make any sense.
No.
Yeah, but we are on Type Radio and you come to the Dunbars and they talk about spirits and... Things
well,
which are not,
quite a,
yeah, but
know,
also
mind,
ghosts
spirits.
And things. But I can carry on type and spirits.
Type and spirits.
Yeah, type
well, I
and.
Have a more special question: what is the most beautiful word in any language?
Spanduli.
Beginning with a P.
Penis.
Oh, Cenip.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Well, we are here in the Cenip industry. Now, the most beautiful word. Most beautiful word of I know.
Yeah. Well, if you don't, you'd have to make up one.
Well, language is beautiful. So I well, dirty words of female sexual organs is sort of.
You cannot pronounce that one word.
No.
Which one?
Kut. My father cannot say kut.
Oh, you don't want to say the
no,
word?
No, he cannot. He sounds like a
I'm too posh to say it.
Oh, okay.
I have
it's
to say
because you can't actually...
It's a pronunciation, and my wife starts laughing when I... And they are as well when I say the word. I will not say it.
No.
This is like the ultimate medium for that.
Yeah, no. Then it will be blocked in China, and I want to have my Chinese friends listen to it as well.
So, I guess if you say it backwards, it's those famous crackers.
Tuk, yes. But Cenip, I would also talk about Cenip.
Yeah.
But wait a moment, I would like to go back to type and magic, which really is non-existing in Holland, but it exists in Indonesia.
Type and magic?
Yeah. That is what I would like to talk about, because we talk about ghosts and things like that, but I now and then teach at the university in Bandung, which is the best university in Indonesia, and they have an art school. And I was looking through the thesis of the students when I was there, because I was interested in what the Indonesian design students were reading and talking, and to my surprise they did know about the style movement and the Russian constructivist and things like that. But there was one student who was talking about a story he came up when he was interviewing. He was talking about an Indonesian icon, and that is a packaging cigarette, cinnamon, kretek.
Kretek.
It is Gudang Garam. Gudang means warehouse, and Garam means salt, so salt warehouse. And he went there for his thesis to the directors of Gudang Garam factories, which are in the middle of Java. And then he heard the following incredible story, and he was writing it serious as a thesis, and he gave it to his professor, and he accepted it. It was the story about this packaging. It used to be a very successful cigarette in Indonesia. And then, for some reason, after the war, the sale went down. And the directors didn't know what the reason was. Because there's also another brand, which then was having big successes in sale. And at a certain moment, the night watch came along. He knocked on the door of the directors and they say, I was sleeping, mind you, a night watch. I was sleeping and I had a vision in my dream. And it deals with the packaging of your Gudangaram. Oh, well, they were so hopeless, so they were listening. The dream said, you have to change the color into red and blue. It was another color. I don't know what the colors were in those days. And they changed the color of the packaging in red and blue, and from that moment the sale went up again. Now, that is what I call the real design and the real type.
Design from the other world.
Design from the other world. And the guy was dead serious.
And they had the packaging.
Yes, if you have now a Gudangaram, you immediately think on blue and red. So that is so, that makes those countries so juicy for me. It's, if they think in that way on type, I mean, what are we on earth doing in designing new typefaces? I mean, we should go into that sort of stuff. Not that I will guarantee result, but the fact that people take the courage to go and travel to the middle of Java, interview those people, and come up with this story, it's for me.
Do you spend a lot of time in Indonesia?
Yes, I was born and raised there. I left 11 and a half years and on and off. Not anymore, but I used to go and teach there. So, and I speak the language. I had this girl.
You speak Bahasa?
Yes. I had this girl this morning in the studio. She was part of a group of students from Utrecht, and she came from Jakarta. She was very surprised that. I spoke to her in Indonesian once in a while. I do that. And I like cooking, Indonesian cooking as well. Okay, next question.
Okay.
Are you competitive?
No.
Towards each other?
Well,
no.
Towards other people?
No. It takes energy. It takes up time. No, are you? No.
But it could also be like a very positive kind of energy you receive, you get from, you see somebody else like successful or like doing something. And
or it's a project and you decide we got to get it, or I don't know. That's
well, it used to be when there was this sort of competition going on in the studio. Then if you call that competitive, yes, we always put a lot of energy for the competition. I deliberately not use the word pitch because it's a terrible word and it's from American culture and I'm not so in with that culture at the moment. So it's a competition and then we were competitive. But it was more fun. It was not competitive out of jealousy or whatever. But no, towards each other we are entirely not competitive, no.
And what is it, what qualities do you think Derek has that you don't have, and vice versa?
I think this is a brilliant question. I must give you a compliment for that question.
Stay tuned at www.typeradio.org.